Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians, written by Paul the Apostle to the church at Ephesus. Last time we left off in chapter 4, around let's pick up at verse 20 here. Back up just a little bit. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And this is about where we left off last time. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There are people that steal by proxy. Of course, the government steals from them, or they may steal another way by using that which they don't have permission to use, usurping another man's property or belongings and converting them for their own purpose. There are many ways to legally steal, too, using the government. For instance, Socialist Security is an entire system of theft where the gun of the state is used to steal from one man to give to another, to force men into charity. Forced charity is unlawful according to God's law, but forced charity is the norm in the societies and the governments of men. God hates forced charity. He looks for a cheerful giver. He never forced charity at any time. There is no forced charity in the kingdom of God. You'll only find that in the socialist kingdoms of men, because forced charity is not charity at all. It is theft, and it relieves people from the obligation of practicing true charity, which is giving with a cheerful heart. So many people try to justify the systems and the charity of the world where they force charity, force men to give that which they do not want to give. God is able to take care of the things that he needs to have taken care of and to take care of the poor. And you see what happens when you force charity to say, take care of the poor. The poor become dependent upon that theft, and they become lazy. Where if you look into the charity that our Heavenly Father outlined in his law for giving to the poor, it would not allow the poor to become dependent upon it for their daily sustenance. It would not allow them to live their life without working for their bread. As the scripture says, if a man, and that goes for a woman, all of mankind, if someone doesn't work, they should not eat. Now, there are times when people can't work, and their nearest kin should take care of them, because the scripture also says that whoever doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. So it goes to family. So you see, forced charity in the form of welfare is destructive to the society. It destroys families. It removes men from the household and makes them slaves to the state, making the women the rulers of the household, using the leverage of the children, which the state will side with them and help them take the children from the father and destroy the family. We have a whole society, all of these ills of society, which have come up around this forced charity. And then you have socialist security. Oh, you know, all of the intentions are so pure. the intentions are so right. Good intentions. You've heard the saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and it is the truth. It always starts out with good intentions, but you have people with ulterior motives behind the good intentions. And then you have our enemy who seeks to destroy the family and people and the kingdom of God. Socialist security destroys families. It allows the elderly to become independent of their young, independent their families. And what do they look to? They look to the state, who uses the gun of the state to force people into charity, destroying the family, destroying the extended family, and the beautiful relationships that our Heavenly Father desired for us to have in family. Strong family governments that our Heavenly Father intended for us to have. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, not just to provide meat for his own mouth and his own immediate family, but that he may give to him that needeth. And you know what? Charity begins at home. You need to take care of your own first, your own family first. And that means you're infirm, you're sick, you're that are unable to work. You're elderly, and you're young and helpless and disabled. That's where it begins. And when a family can't do that, or people who are in that position of being elderly or being disabled and have no place else to turn, that's where the church or various charities step up and fill in the gap. But the first thing they do, when you have a charity, the first thing charity does is to point them to their family, to look into the family situation and try to resolve whatever the issue that is keeping this family apart. That would be a good function of the church and charity work. That's the first step, instead of the church saying, oh, go down to the state welfare office or the Social Security office. That's what they're there for. Relieving the church of its obligation to practice charity. Chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And I believe that's something that I do practice in my radio program here, and I try to practice that throughout my life. Sometimes anger wins, and some things that come out of my mouth in the moment of anger that aren't right, but we are a work in progress, aren't we? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I say, Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Now, Heavenly Father, these are the things. If you belong to him, these are the first things that he's going to rout out of your life by his Holy Spirit. Fornication and all uncleanness. You know, the guys that like to tell the dirty jokes and dwell on those things. And covetousness. People are constantly have their hand out. People that receive checks every month from the state when they can work for a living. And even hide their labor. Yes, their cash labor. So they can continue to use the gun of the state to rob their neighbor. Covetousness. Taking. Truce breakers. Taking. Never paying back. Feigning the need for charity when they have no need. They can go out and labor on their own. Covetousness. Oh, then there's the opposite. People, their whole life is about chasing the dollar. They sacrifice everything for their career. They sacrifice their family, their children. They would rather those moms would rather work a career and ship their children off to pagan idolaters to be trained to be good little statists in the public education system. What a terrible price to pay for your covetousness, for your career, just so you can have the latest car and the best looking house, so you can have curb appeal. And at what price? The lives of your children, their souls in hell, and you losing your way yourself, being caught up in the cares of the world. Covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And yes, I did say public education. That's what it's there for. It's your free babysitting service. And I should relay something. I recently went to a local fair that they have every year, and just appalling to see the high school children there, young girls dressed like sluts, you know, with hot pants and tank tops and high boots and tattoos all over their bodies. Just really heartbreaking to see these beautiful girls dressed up like sluts rather than like young women should be dressed, modestly, beautiful, with their faces and their bodies painted. To see teenage girls, 16, 17 years old, with such black gunk around their eyes that it just makes me want to puke. Yeah, I'm sure all the little pagan boys love it, though, when they're walking around with hustler tank tops on, advertising what they are. Little sluts. Hey, yes, we learned in sex ed all about putting condoms on bananas or worse. I'm sure condoms on bananas is old. What they're doing now is probably doing the real thing, or at least watching pornographic videos or something, graphic books. And hey, don't worry, children, if you have a problem, enjoy the sex. And if you get pregnant, if you make a mistake, because the mistake is not the fornication. No, the mistake is if you know, your condom breaks or you do it without protection. Protection from what? Something that God made beautiful for a purpose, to bring forth a godly seed, to keep the human race alive. Yes, we got to be protected from God's purpose in things. That's right. Only Satan would want to protect us from God's purpose. Oh, man. So there you have it. Filthiness. Foolish talking. Now, what is foolish talking? Sports? Is that kind of foolishness? Anything that doesn't amount to anything at all? I mean, who really cares who won the last game that played out with a slight variation on the 10 million same games before it? And then, oh, but it's this guy or that guy, this idol or that idol. Foolishness. What a waste of life and what a waste of time. It all amounts to nothing. So no filthiness, no foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. So talking about foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have fun. But I think he's here talking about foolishness and jesting that hurts people, and that is totally unnecessary and even cruel, because he says, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Yes. Should we be prudes? People will call you prudes and nice names like that, but they don't mean them nicely. But go ahead and compliment me. See if I care. For you know, for this you know. Now listen, that no whoremonger. What is a whoremonger? Well, the prostitute, debauchee, fornicator, you know, it's like those high school girls, those poor little girls out there being trained to be good little sluts, walking around with hot pants, high boots, tattoos all over their bodies and paint all over their eyes and their tank tops, advertising. Wow, you know, these parents must really hate their children. And, you know, shame on you if you call yourself a Christian and you send your children to these temples of humanism and idolatry to be trained by these pagans. And then you wonder, what went wrong? Oh, why didn't they follow us? We went to church every Sunday. We sent them to Sunday school. Yes, and your church practices, you know, they practice statism. Even in the church, they segregate. Oh, got to separate all the children from the adults. We got to play the little segregation game. We got to separate the families. We got to indoctrinate them in separating themselves one from another and breaking up into cliques, because that just builds on the pattern of destroying the family, of destroying the extended family, which God meant to be together, to build strong family, kingdom, government for his people, that they might raise or bring forth a godly seed. No whoremonger, no unclean person, and impure, lewd, demonic, foul-mouthed, always just looking for one thing, and that's the things of this world, either sex or fame, money, unclean, covetous, he continues, who is an idolater. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of his Christ. Wow. Cross the border into the kingdom of God, and all of these things are going to be left behind. They don't belong in his kingdom. If you think you can be in God's kingdom and practice, continue to practice these things, you're fooling yourself. The kingdom of God that you imagine is only in your own imagination. Because if you see, our God is looking for people, volunteers, people who will volunteer to live in his kingdom and to live by his law and to do those things which please him. Their heart's cry is, Father, teach me obedience. Father, write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against you. And you know, if that's your heart's cry, then you are in his kingdom. That doesn't mean you're not going to fall down. That doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. But when you do, because you're in his kingdom, if you do fall down, you're going to reach for his hand. And hopefully you'll reach for his hand before you hit the ground. Because hitting the ground is no fun. Yes, falling down is never fun. But that's the point we want to get to, where we can walk without falling. Oh, we might stumble a little bit. But we doesn't matter if we stumble, we fall, we get back up, because we're in his kingdom, and the true desire of our heart is to do the things that please him, to do only that which pleases our heavenly Father. So, I'll repeat it once more completely. For this you know. Know it. I know it. This you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He rules the nations with a rod of iron. Yes, that's what it says about our Messiah. The civil government, Paul said, is there to punish evildoers. Now, that doesn't mean that the civil government doesn't punish the righteous at the same time. It doesn't mean that sometimes the righteous don't get trampled by the unjust laws that are there. The tyrannical laws are there because of the tyranny of sin that rules in the hearts of most men out here. That's what you want. You want to get rid of tyranny? Get rid of the tyranny of sin in your life. And the more people that do that, the less tyranny we'll have in our nation. You ain't going to fight it and win it with guns and the militia. You ain't going to fight it and win it by protesting. You ain't going to fight it and win it by voting the right guy into office. There's only one life you can change on this planet, and that is your own life. Look in the mirror. Tyranny rules. Are you covetous? Are you stealing when you could work? Oh, but what will I do if I can't get my monthly check from the state? Because the money I make under the table, it isn't enough. Trust God. He will provide. It'll be enough. I would rather go without than to live in covetousness. I would rather go hungry. It would be good for my soul to practice a little involuntary fasting rather than forgetting his benefits by looking to the state, the idolatry of statism, and depending upon the gun of the state to steal from my neighbor so that I can have because I've become dependent, because I don't know how to think, and I don't know how to walk by faith. The just shall walk by faith. The just do not walk depending on the benefits of Caesar and justifying it any way they can. Oh, I'll take everything I can get from the state. Well, as long as they're handing it out, and I'll use it against them. Yes, that justifies it. You're going to go out there and steal from a man who's evil so you can use it against him? How about your neighbor? You know, you don't like the guy, but he works hard for his money. But you can steal from him to use it against the evil that he's doing. Yes, I hear it all the time. These are the things that people deceive themselves with. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know who you are if you hear this, but most of these people would never listen to a program like this because it would cut them to the quick. That's the word of God. It's not me. It's him. It's his word. I'm just sharing it with you as he would have this preacher preach it or teach it, whichever way you want to look at it. I do a little mixture of preaching and teaching. Be not therefore partakers with them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for removing my foot from their path. For you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are ye light in the Lord. Walk ye as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be back after some messages.